This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, as always, it's that time of the week where I get to speak to the absolute Chelsea legend, one of my all-time heroes at Chelsea, the wonderful Kerry Dixon. How are you this week, mate?
You say all the right things, Dave. I'm fine, thank you.
It's all right. The check's in the post, mate. I know. Anyway, listen, I wanted to start off with something because obviously, you know, we really need to talk a little bit about the Arsenal game, I think. But yep. I've got a little treat for you. So have a listen to this and tell me what you think.
Oh, Dixon! And Dixon again! And Chelsea have equalised! They were badly caught out there, Arsenal. And Kerry Dixon, with 34 goals last season, gets away to the best possible start in the First Division. The first was a left-foot shot that was saved by Jennings. Back it came again, and what a belter with the right foot into the corner, and Chelsea are level.
So, Kerry, what do you think about that? Does that bring back some memories or what?
Some very good memories, I have to say. Yes, of course. There's been many a good game against Arsenal recently, but that's one of my finest memories for myself personally in a Chelsea shirt. And very nice of you, Dave, to actually put that on air. It's a great memory itself. And, you know, Brian Moore doing his piece, as they say, and different people doing it these days. But Brian was one of the best.
Wasn't he just? Yeah, I'm really glad I found that, actually, because, I know very well that it's your favourite ever goal for Chelsea, so I thought the least I could do was to remind you of that. But of course, you know, my great mate Mark Worrell and Kelvin Barker, they wrote a book pretty much based around that. So, as you well know, it evokes great memories for Chelsea supporters everywhere as well. So there we go. Anyway, we should really talk about the latest Chelsea-Arsenal game. And, talking about enjoying your goal against them in 84, how much did you enjoy that on Saturday?
Yeah, well, I've got to say, in my opinion, we've had some good performances this year, but that's arguably our best performance. You know, when you think of Everton and Manchester United and, you know, scored more goals and such, but we were very good. And I have to say, I thought Hazard's goal was wonderful, as everyone has already said. It's good to find yourself when you actually talk, but some of the things that you believe and what you say actually come true. You know, the likes of Eden Hazard saying in tight games, if he performs and if Costa was to perform in tight games, they could be the difference between a side having a world-class player or two world-class players or such. And Hazard was magnificent on the day. The goal was the icing on the cake. But he was very good. It caused them all sorts of problems. And on a going day, you know, he's virtually unplayable, as we've seen before. Lots of other good performances, of course, as well. But, you know, we were totally the bosses right from the very first minute. And, you know, that's the sort of determination and, you know, it's a sort of desire and wanting that, you know, the fans want to see from players, and totally dominate one of your title rivals. It's wonderful.
And I think also, you know, particularly Arsenal, because we you know, bar that disaster back in September, you know, we've been dominating them. I worked it out, actually. I mean, pretty much since Roman took over, Mr. Abramovich took over, we have dominated Arsenal. And I think the thing that excites so many Chelsea supporters is the way that we dominate them. You know, we just out-muscle them. You know, we're more physical than them. We want it more than them. I mean, there's no little skill as well. And I mean, you know, talking of which, I mean, Hazard's goal on Saturday. I mean, I've got to be honest with you, mate. That's one of the best goals I've seen at the Bridge. You know, the fact that he kind of ran from inside his own. It reminded me a little bit of that Maradona goal against England. I mean, you were there, I think, weren't you? You would have seen that. You would have seen that live back in Mexico in 86, but probably wouldn't have appreciated it much, I would imagine. But there was something about Hazard's goal that reminded me of that. I thought it was absolutely superb.
Yeah, I mean, even Hazard, as I've said earlier, he is what he is. And on a going day, he's virtually untouchable. The goal was great. The desire was there from him. You know, the skill and the artistry and ball control, all great. You know, and it was a goal that really, you know, put us on our way, as if we weren't on our way anyway. But, you know, it virtually told the supporters that, you know, we're going to win this game. And it was one of them telling moments in a football match that, you sometimes find Arsenal faces all drop. They still believed that they could get back in. Of course, that happened. It put them a little bit more, and everyone started to believe Chelsea could win the title. That was pretty much the belief everywhere. And, you know, it was that moment, you know, 2-0, and very much on top in this game. And people are starting to think, well, who else is going to stop us now? But, you know, like always, you know, I've said too many times, you know, nothing's given out in February, but we've put ourselves in a wonderful commanding position overall in the league. And, you know, I wouldn't be unfair on any supporter who actually comes out and says, yes, I believe we're going to win the league, because I can understand the belief. It's just that me being the pessimist and, you know, thinking that things could always happen in football because I've been in and around it for too long, that something could always happen. But we're in a wonderful position.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kerry, there speaks a true Chelsea supporter, mate. You know, I think a lot of us of a certain age are still like that, and I don't think you'll ever get rid of that. I mean, it's an interesting point, actually, because, I agree with you to a certain extent. You know, the title's not won yet. You don't win it in February. But I think, you know, I think the thing that a lot of us took away from that game was that whilst we haven't won it yet, what we might have done is knocked Arsenal out of that race, because they're now 12 points behind. So, I mean, I kind of got the feeling that we've you know, given out a pretty fatal blow to one of our main rivals.
Yeah, I do believe that as well. The thing is that we've only given out a blow, provided we keep our foot on the pedal. We have to, you know, this is the thing. You know, we've still got games, and we're going to talk about Burnley, no doubt, later on in the show. And, you know, they're a team that's fighting at the bottom of the league, and, you know, they're scrapping, and their home form is very good. And they're going to give us a game. Make no bones about it. I mean, I'm going to come away and say, you know, we should be good enough to beat Burnley away if we're going to win the league and stuff like that. But the reality is, it's going to be another tough game for different reasons. And they're going to be a lot more physical. They've got some big 6-foot players in and around. And, you know, it's going to be a different game. It's all very well playing Arsenal at home and, you know, playing wonderful football against a footballing side, which we, as you've already said, we can out-muscle. But going away to Burnley on television against a physical side, scrapping, fighting for relegation, desperate to stay up, fighting for every ball, we've got to match them in that, and then we'll win. But if we fall short in the fighting department, listen, anything can happen. And these are the sort of things that can happen when you become complacent and you start to think, oh, we've won the league, it's Chelsea to lose and all this sort of stuff. Just that 5%, 10% from every player, all of a sudden you're 100% less.
Yeah, I mean, spot on, mate. I think, you know, for me, that's what makes the Premier League, I think, arguably the best league in the world, because, you know, you've got to be 100% every game. You take your foot off the gas and any team in this league can beat you. And I think that's what makes it brilliant. I'm kind of just going back to the Arsenal game more specifically. You know, well, I say a lot of people were moaning about it. Actually, that's not true. The only people that were moaning about it were Arsene Wenger and the Arsenal supporters. But for me, absolutely nothing wrong with Alonso's goal. I mean, he jumped for it. He had a run on it, and he only had the, you know, his eyes on the ball. So, you know, no foul for me. I mean, what would you say on that?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, people will always say you're biased, but no, I mean, if I thought it was a foul, I'd say I think we got away with it. But yeah, I am a quite. Bit biased. I mean, it wasn't a foul, no. I mean, you're exactly right. The referee's got it spot on. And, you know, it's a bit of a clutch for Arsenal. I said earlier on the show, well, the show last week, that I admire Wenger. I think he's done a wonderful job there. But, you know, it's a bit of a clutch at anything. It's a trait, if you like. It's one of the old Jose Mourinho things, try and blame anything. Anything but the reality, rather than saying that Chelsea were far better on the day. And, you know, if they say it's if he wants to say it was a fluky goal, we should come out and say what a wonderful goal it was, the Hazard one. You know, then he chooses not to do that because, you know, it's just the way football is, and people ask, and he's going to say, well, I thought it shouldn't have been allowed. Then they'll say, what about the Hazard goal? And he'll probably say, move on.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, I mean, you know, I kind of agree with you there. I mean, you know, you don't really expect him to say anything else. I mean, you know, they all have their reasons for saying what they say and the way that they say it, and I can understand that. But, yeah, absolutely a goal, no question about that. I mean, the other thing you mentioned earlier on, actually, was that commitment that Chelsea had, and I think I mentioned it too, you know, the fact that they pretty much won every 50-50 ball. They were first to the ball. You know, they hunted Arsenal down. And I think whilst, you know, Hazard obviously gets all of the plaudits for that fantastic goal, and I think also a fantastic performance, it should be said. But, you know, another thing that we all walked away from and were talking about in the pub afterwards was this guy Kante. I mean, he is phenomenal. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anybody cover as much ground as he does, you know, intercept, win the ball, give it out. And, of course, we were really privileged, I think, you know, 10 years ago or so, to see Claude Makélélé play in that kind of position. And of course, he defined it in a way. They started calling it the Makélélé role. But I've got to say, this Kante is something else, Kerry. And I think if you could have given a shared man of the match, I think Kante would have been there with Hazard.
Well, I did a little thing someone put up on Twitter, man of the match, and it was neck and neck, Hazard and Kante. Yeah. And quite rightly so, I thought, as much as I you know, I don't like the position, and I've gone on record saying it so many times, we've got two of them in Matic and Kante, but Kante did very well. He did cover a lot of ground. Matic is playing well as well in that role. You know, it's very hard, you know, because every time Fabregas comes on, he seems to do well as well. You know, it's very tough. As I've already said, I would always have a Fabregas in one of them, if that be the case, but... You know, the two of them are doing very well. And, you know, Antonio Conte is going for the two of them in a lot of the tough games and the tough away games. You know, some of the ones he considers relatively easier, in his opinion, he puts in Fabregas. And, you know, he certainly doesn't let down. And he brings some lovely flair. You know, the fact he scored against Arsenal with a great knob was very good. And, you know, he showed some dignity in not celebrating. But I don't necessarily go along with it all, but I understand what modern-day players are trying to do. But, goodness me, I'd have celebrated every goal. Not over the top, running into the crowd and causing a riot. But, you know, when you score a goal, it's an exciting moment, you know.
Yeah.
And but just going back to Kante, yes, playing very well. But that can also, that description could also be described to lots of players. You know, I look at Alonso.
Yeah.
I had my doubts about him, and I'm not sure. I'm thinking, oh, I'm not so sure he's been brought in, but... Obviously, the boss knows what he's doing. Ever since Nathan Aki's come back to the club, this fella's raised his game another 5-10%. And
that's telling, isn't it?
You know, he's shooting. He's getting up and down the line. He's creating. Creating goals, chances. He's scoring them. And his game has really come on another 5-10%. Because possibly he felt the fact that, you know, Nathan Aki was going to put pressure on him. He hasn't been brought back for nothing. But it does seem at the moment that's just what the doctor ordered. Unfortunately for Aki, and we all want to see players come through and break into the first team as such, but, you know, he's not going to get in if players are going to continue to do that. And Alonso's risen to the challenge very well. So, you know, I say Kante played great, Hazard played great, hopefully on Burnley, which will happen. There'll be maybe one or two others played great. Costa might win it for us. You know, it might be a Pedro Wonder goal. You know, him and Williams still scrapping for a position, both playing well. You know, And it could be Fabregas once again coming off the bench, if indeed that be the case, and winning it. Who knows? But at the moment, every person at Chelsea is fighting for their place in the side, want to be part of it, and this is the stuff champions are made of. And, you know, everyone is playing possibly to their maximum.
Yeah, no, I think that's, well, exactly, and I think that's coming through in the results, obviously, in the performances. I think the final point on the Arsenal game I'd like to talk about really is what a great atmosphere there was there. I mean, you know, modern day, you know, football grounds are not quite like they were when, you know, we played that clip earlier on of what it was like at Highbury in '84, and there was so many Chelsea supporters there, and they made a right old racket. It's very different these days, but I have to say, I thought the atmosphere in the ground was absolutely top-notch on Saturday. Everybody seemed up for it, and everybody made a noise. I mean, I you know, did you get the same feeling, Kerry?
Well, it's what it's, you know, people talk about the derby games, and, you know, the foreign players, it'd be interesting to see if, you know, you actually get to interview them, and what do they make of it? I mean, they've all been involved in big games before in their own countries and so on. But, you know, and some would say that, you know, some of their atmospheres in their own countries are better than lots of the Premier League games, which could well be the case. But certainly the derby games, you know, they know it's about, you know, when it's Chelsea Spurs, you know, even home or away, the Chelsea fans are magnificent. You know, when it's at Liverpool, when you go there, you know, the Liverpool fans make right old racket, and United will be the same when we go there. You know, Chelsea fans will do their best to make themselves heard in them places, but they certainly make themselves heard at home at the weekend, you know. And to be fair, Arsenal fans tried to have a go as well, but Chelsea fans were in good voice. And, you know, when that happens, you know, they're very much the winners at home. And I've seen it on quite a few occasions now over the years. But yes, I agree with you that it was a great atmosphere. And I think it was brought on for the fact that we are in the ascendancy. Arsenal are a challenger. And we knew we needed that little bit extra. We got it from the fans and we got it from the players. And the result, you know, it pretty much self-explanatory when you put them two things together.
Yeah, it was interesting actually, because I mean, you know, there are some. I mean, you know, one could argue all the time, but we know that that's not the case. But you know, for me, Saturday, it was a real joy and a privilege to be there on Saturday. You know, great atmosphere, beating Arsenal. Nothing's, you know, better than that in my book. And then seeing that fantastic goal by Hazard. By the way, I've decided that Hazard goal is actually better than Maradona's, because Hazard used both feet, whereas Maradona only used his left.
Whatever you say, Chidge, whatever you say is not a problem.
Actually, do you know what, mate? Talking about that, I interviewed Peter Reid for some telly program years ago about that Maradona goal and the fact that he left him for dead. And Peter's a lovely bloke, I've got to say. I really like Peter Reid. And he did actually say, he said, you know what, I've just watched that back and it looks like I was wearing diving boots, doesn't it? And I didn't disagree. Anyway, we should move on. Sorry, mate, go on.
Sorry, Dave. Yeah, I think he said that to them afterwards. The boss said, how can he beat five players? Bobby Robinson, how can he get round all them? Don't worry about they were moaning about the hand. What about the second one? Can't any of you have stopped him? They all looked at each other. I think Reedy said that. I think I had diving boots on. And Bobby Robinson didn't disagree either.
Well, there you go. At least Reedy's consistent. I'll give him that. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Listen, before we talk about the Burnley game coming up, I mean, there's just a couple of things that have been kicking around in the press this week. The first one is, you know, more talk, probably, you know, fed by Real Madrid, but more talk about Courtois and their courting of Courtois even, which is a bit of a concern, because I actually think he's been playing really, really well. And of course, he made a couple of superb saves against Arsenal. So should we be concerned?
Always. I think, like Diego Costa, are great world-class players. You know, for one reason or another, teams or big teams are going to want them, and there's going to be reasons as why they want them. With his wife and child living in Madrid, you know, it's one of the factors that they think who would be available, who could we lever. You know, all the best players in the world invariably are playing for the best clubs. It's very hard to poach or get another player from another club, and it's very hard to get another player from another club in the same country. So when you think selling abroad, it's a possibility. So Chelsea have to be up for that, and Courtois has got to remain focused, and, you know, Real Madrid comes knocking for anyone who's going to turn their head, like Costa the other week, you know, £30 million and so on, he's going to turn their heads. But footballers have got to be professionals, and they've got to, you know, keep focus on the job they do. Now is never going to be the time. It, you know, if it is a courting of Courtois, then, you know, Real Madrid, it's well known that they do need a goalkeeper. They tried their best for De Gea last couple of seasons to unsettle him, signed a new Manchester United contract, but undoubtedly he'll be in the mix as well. And they're going to need a goalkeeper. I don't doubt that there's going to be a bit of a tussle for Courtois. Having said that, you know, Chelsea are going to have to sit tight, stick to their guns, make him feel as wanted and as needed as possible, and let's hope that the player ultimately wants to stay. But I will say that I do feel that there'll be a niggle in the background if his wife and child don't actually make the transition and don't come over, and they're continually going to be living away. It's not going to be easy to keep him long term.
No.
And he's only a 24-year-old, so, you know, it's going to be a tussle, that one.
Yeah, no, to be honest, mate, I agree totally. That's the thing that really worries me, you know, the fact that his wife and his child are over in Spain. You know, that's the thing that worries me, and that you know, it could
not
swing
just
it for
in
him.
Spain, in Madrid.
Not just... Oh, in Madrid, exactly. Yeah, that's even more pertinent, isn't it? The other thing, of course, I mean, because we've got a similar issue possibly with Costa, because we still don't know, you know, whether he may or may not go to China during the summer. I mean, if for the sake of argument we presume that he might do... there's been a lot of talk about Lukaku that we've been interested in, it seems to me, ever since the day we blooming well sold him to Everton. But actually, I mean, I know he put four away against Bournemouth on Saturday, which is, you know, fair play to him. But is that his goal scoring record in the Premier League is actually fairly impressive. So, you know, whilst it's only kind of paper talk at the moment, would you have him back even if he's going to cost a lot of money? I mean, figures of about 70 million were mentioned.
I've got to be honest, I wouldn't have sold him. But having said that, he was facing the same problem that everyone faces. If you're not in the side, you've got to get yourself into the side. And the boss at the time, I don't know whether he fancied him. The money was so many more millions for a player that's going to be in the reserves. That, you know, I don't know what the club was like in terms of balancing books and so on. You know, there is this fair play issue. You know, you buy players in, you've got to get balance books and get players out and, you know, what they can get. And that's going to occur again. But listen, if Diego Costa wants to go, and I'll be very disappointed and, you know, upset, but if Chelsea decide and the player decide that, you know, parting of the ways is going to be inevitable, then, you know, Chelsea should get the right price for him. It's all very well saying so many million for him. The club, he's under contract to the club, and I'm sure they'll be looking at something like 80-odd million themselves. And if you want to spend out something like 60 on Lukaku, a young goal scorer who of proven calibre, internationally, I have to say, as well as domestically. I mean, his goal scoring record, you said about in the Premier League, is good. His goal scoring record for Belgium is also very good. I'd say why not give him a go? You know, we're a team that creates chances. But it'll also depend on, of course, the major issue, I should think, is what the manager wants. If he sees him as part of it, and if he sees him continuing in the role, you know, he'll be consulted, no doubt. And if they're thinking of selling Diego Costa and such, they're going to want a decent replacement. And I would say Lukaku would be in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, I see that. I mean, I think, you know, Lukaku's definitely matured from, you know, from the player that I saw trying to break through for Chelsea when I think you could argue he was, you know, a little bit out of his depth and possibly trying too hard. Well, you know, he only got a few games, to be fair to him. But I think he's really matured. And I think, you know, apart from the fact he's obviously a big unit like Costa is, which I think
and
is
quick,
handy.
But by the
he's
way.
He's quick, yeah. And he's a good finisher, Kerry, which is something that you were an expert in. Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yeah, very good. I wouldn't be put out by having him. You know, he might not play the silky footballing way, but he's got better. He's got better at that. You know, playing the ball up to him, his touch has got better. And he'll only get better in and around a good side. But one thing is for sure, he gives you another option. Up top, playing a long ball. You know, I always say about plan B. Tight games, we've got to have something different. We had it with Drogba. He would give you that back again. I'm not saying Diego Costa doesn't give you that because he chases lost calls and you can still hit him. But this other fella could chase over the top. You know, he's a decent option. But it's all about the figures, and it's all about what the manager wants, and it's all about what the club wants.
Well, there we go. This will no doubt run, and we will find out sometime in the summer, I expect. So anyway, we better talk about the Burnley game because that's coming up on Sunday. I've got a lot of mates going up. Sadly, I can't make it this weekend, but they're all about 20 of them are all going out for a curry somewhere near Burnley on Saturday night. So I know that they'll be well up for it, that's for sure. But I think the point that you were making earlier on is spot on. The team have got to be right up for it as well because, you know, whilst Burnley are only 12th, and, you know, on paper we should win comfortably, they're a tough nut to crack, I think. And as you said, they're very physical as well. So, you know, Chelsea need to approach this 100%, don't they, Kerry?
Well, not many teams are going up there and rolling them over, certainly on their own patch. And, you know, they're fighting for everything. You know, they have got some big, strong physical players. Sean Dyche is an uncompromising guy. You know, he won't be taking prisoners. He'll say, look, no, don't let this lot come down here, start knocking the ball around. And, you know, he'll be like they used to say, let's get into them, let's unsettle them. And, you know, you can expect one or two knocks. That's going to be the nature of the game up there. And, you know, the Premier League is, you know, got all types of teams playing all types of ways, all types of managers and instructions, and all types of characters within. And if they don't know by now, Chelsea are going to receive some of the thing that used to be attributed to Stoke and the Wimbledons and the teams of that ilk. And I think they'll, you know, perhaps not being totally fair to Burnley because they do play a bit of football as well, but they're certainly going to mix it and they're not going to let Chelsea have it all their own way.
I think the other thing about it is that it, you know, what I like about Burnley, it's a proper old school ground. I mean, I get the impression. I mean, you know, the last time I went up there, that wasn't that long ago. They still had wooden seats in the away end, and I kind of get the impression that it hasn't really changed much since your day, has it?
No, Perth Moor, it's still pretty much the same as I remember it. Can't remember about 5 or 6 years ago now since I went there, but no, nothing's changed much. You know, they've upgraded to whatever level they can. But he's done a wonderful job, Dyche. You know, and fair play to Burnley. You know, they've had a great last, I'd say, 10 years up and down, of course. But you know, by and large, they've been in and around the Premier League, which is something that they haven't been doing for the previous, I'd say, 20, 30 years. Fair play to them.
I'll tell you another thing, Kerry, about Turf Moor is it's always bloody freezing, even if it's in the middle of summer, because it's quite up high up on a hill, isn't it? And the stands are all the kind of individual stands. It's not wrapped around. And the wind howls through there. So if you're going on Sunday, folks, wrap up warm. Just to kind of wrap the whole Burnley chat up, really, mate. I mean, you know, you were alluding to that a minute ago, that they don't get done by a lot of goals, this lot. And I kind of look back and actually, whilst they tend to lose to teams in the top six and beat those that are in and around their position, they only lose to the top teams by the odd goal. So I have a suspicion that our predictions might be a bit conservative this week.
I'm going very much for a 1-0 Diego Costa smash and grab.
Oh, I like the sound of that. Of course, he scored his first goal for us up there, didn't he? First game that he played for us was the first match of the season, I seem to recall.
Yep.
And it was an absolute smasher, wasn't it?
You know, you look back at some of them tough away games. You look at Sunderland, where he cost, I think, Middlesbrough. You know, the tough games up there, up the north. And tough because of all the things that it's going to bring on Saturday. Diego Costa has come through.
Well, I would settle for a squeaky 1-0 from Costa, or even a Costa screamer from 20 yards. Either way, I'd settle for the 1-0. But I'm gonna go 2-1, Kerry, because I'm not going to go the same as you. Plus the fact I'm going to remind Chelsea everybody you are.
Chelsea by the odd goal. And what are you going to say you're going to remind everybody of?
You know what I'm going to remind them of. The fact that I got my prediction spot on again. 3-1. What can I say?
You won't say that. Listen, you're listening to what I say, and you're adding a goal, and you're getting quite a bit right at the moment. So, but between we're on the right ilk.
We are indeed. As long as we keep predicting wins and we get them, we're all right. I must tell you, actually, somebody emailed into the show on Monday, and they've picked up on the fact that I'm beginning to learn from you, because I keep now saying instead of it's the manager doing all this, it's the players that win the matches, not the system. So there cool. You go. You're teaching me something sensible, Kerry. That's the main thing.
Well, it's only as I see it. I'm not saying it's sensible, and that's not always the case.
True enough. All right, mate. I think we'll wrap it up. Obviously, good luck for Sunday, and no doubt we'll catch up again next week.
Thank you very much, Dave. Have a good weekend, whatever you're doing, and let's hope for once again getting our predictions right.
Excellent. I'll hope. Well, fingers crossed that we will. Cheers, mate. Thanks a lot. It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.